Well, think back over the course of life in a parish. You know that as part of their ministries, well, priests come and stay for a while. They leave a lasting impression in our hearts and, more importantly, helped in the salvation of souls. And with those priests who have baptized our children, present at their first communions and confirmation, they've stood present in witness of the sacrament of marriage. They've even buried our dead. Well, they become part of our family memory. And then we hear of their reassignment, and we are a little sad that we have to say goodbye. Well, such is the case for our chaplain here at Mater Dei Radio, Father Gabriel Mosier from Holy Rosary Church. Father Gabriel has a new assignment. He will be leaving our area, but not our hearts, and he's also joining us today. Good morning, Father Gabriel. Thank you for sitting with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, first, I'd like to know, how long have you been here in the Portland area? How long has this assignment kept you here?
7 years. I've been here for 7 years.
And in those 7 years, what has been your impression of the Portland area?
Oh, I love Portland. I actually, some people know this about me, but I lived here previously when I was a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. I was at Mount Angel for a year. And so I'd come up to Portland regularly. I discovered Holy Rosary through, at that time, a young seminarian named Eric Anderson. And so me and Father Eric, we used to come up here and got to know the community. In some ways, this is where I found my vocation to be a Dominican. So I love Portland. I love the Portland area. I love Holy Rosary. I love all of this stuff. And leaving, it's going to be a challenge.
Well, Father Gabriel, that's interesting to know that you first entered seminary as a diocesan priest and then found your order. How did all of this, your vocation, your call, and then to the Dominicans, how did all of that come for you?
Oh, gosh, that's a really long story. But I think the best way to put it is simply that God knew that I would not be happy until I was in a religious community. And so through various trials and temptations and frustrations and life decisions, I ended up leaving the seminary and then found my way eventually into the order. Considered other possibilities, was very close with, in particular, this one girl at one point between seminary and entering the order. So got very serious and then, you know, just had to come back. You know, mm-hmm. It was one of those things, like I couldn't ever get away from this idea that I needed to be a priest. It just, once it was put in my head when I was in my early 20s, it never went away, no matter how much I may have wanted it to go away sometimes, but it was always there. And I'm just grateful that God brought it to completion.
Father Gabriel, you and I have had this conversation before, because as I know that you are a Dominican, the initials after your name say OP.
Mm-hmm.
Is it those initials that led you and really kind of brought to the forefront of your mind that the Dominicans is the order that I need to be with?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. When I was sort of discerning, if you will, I thought to myself, okay, so I know that I need to enter a religious community because I did the DOS thing, at least as a seminarian for a while, and that wasn't exactly what worked for me. I had become close at that time, while I was in the seminary, with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, and working with them in New York, I got close with them, with the founders of the order, and saw their community life, and I was like, this is what I want. Like, I want this. But their specific way of living out religious life was not exactly what I wanted. And so I was praying about it and thinking about it and like, okay, what are the gifts that God has given me? And how can I give them back to him? And I said, well, I said, ever since I was a little kid, I've always been sort of a public speaker. You know, I was one of those guys that was like the lead in the class play sort of stuff and all those little things. And then, you know, I'd been a teacher for various things, whether CCD or other stuff. And I said, well, preaching and teaching, where does that fit? And I was like, oh yeah, the Dominicans. And then I just called up the vocation director at the time, Father Mark Pedrez, who was later our provincial and is now actually the socius of the order, which is, he's the number two guy in the order. I called up Father Mark and I said, hey, I'd like to join the Dominicans. Can you send me the application? And he's just like, well, you know, we have this process. I'm like, no, that's okay. I don't need the process. Like, I want to join the Dominicans. Can you send me the application? And he says, actually, we want you to come here so we can see you. And I was like, Oh, okay. All right. So I flew out to Oakland, hung out at St. Albert's for a short time. That's our house of formation there in Oakland. And, you know, it worked. It's fine, you know, and filled out the application, did the things, everything worked out. I entered, and then 7 years later, 8 years later, you know, they ordained me a priest, and then I was sent here. And so this is actually my first assignment as a priest. So I've been a priest for 7 years as well. So
Oh, I see. Well, Father Gabriel, many of us attend diocesan parishes. We see newly ordained young men come and be trained, and then they're assigned new parishes of their own. Also, pastors, they'll serve 6, maybe 12 years at a church and then be moved. And with your order, well, they're reassigned. Why does that have to happen? Those of us who are left in the parishes think we were getting along so well, we're thriving, and now, you know, they come in and they mess it all up for us. Why does that happen?
We want you to suffer.
It feels a little bit like that.
No. So, you know, it's different for a diocese than it is for a religious order. A religious order, like our territory, is gigantic. It's one of the largest provinces in the world. It spans sort of the geographical region from Arizona all the way up north to the boundaries with Canada and all of the states west of the United States from there and into the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And so we've got a lot of things going on with a lot of places that we have to serve. And just like any other institution, we have our internal way of doing things. And one of those is right now, at least in our estimation of our religious life as Dominicans, is a re-emphasis on our conventual life. And so one of the things that we've done is we've contracted, we've made our ministerial obligations fewer, if you will, so that we can have larger communities, so that we can chant the divine office together, that we can have the common meals, that we can do all the things that we're supposed to do according to our constitutions, instead of just being diocesan priests who are white. And that's an important thing for us. And that authentic living out of our charism and our legislation is something that we believe will lead to a greater renewal within our religious order, at least within our province. So as a result, when we close places or when we open places, based off of our manpower abilities, we have to make decisions about who's going to be where and what's going to do who, you know, and that's sort of what's going on in many ways. So like with my reassignment here, it had to do with the community there in Salt Lake. They said, we want to move this ministry forward in a specific way. It's a small community, you know, it's not one of the larger communities. And they said, you know, who could we get to partner with us on this? And they thought that I would be a good fit for it. And so then it started a conversation about, all right, so who's now going to have to take Father Gabriel's place in Portland? So we call it like the giant Sudoku of death when they have to do reassignments.
Right?
Yeah, because it's not just one place.
Trying to find all the numbers to line up.
It's crazy. Like the assignments just go, it's just this big board shifting. Yeah.
Well, that big board is shifting, and it's shifting Father Gabriel to Salt Lake City. We will miss him very much. You know, speaking of bringing people into church, you meet them where they are, too. Mm-hmm. And part of that sometimes means, well, meeting them over a cool drink,
an adult beverage.
That is the best way. In fact, Aaron, you're in studio with us today. That is exactly the way that you came across and met Father Gabriel, which eventually led you to the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. I've told some of my story before, and one of the things I remember, I would sneak into Holy Rosary, go to the Dominican Rite Mass, and then like say thank you and sneak out and go home because I was still not quite sure about things. And
We're still not sure about you.
I know. That's right. And I saw the sign for Drinks with Dominicans, and I was like, oh, it'll be fun. I'll go check it out and see if these people are okay. And you were giving a talk on Aquinas on the Passions and explaining how he took Aristotle's understanding and baptized it, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And I'm a fairly educated guy, kind of do a lot of reading on my own, but I had never heard, I mean, you'd heard the phrase will, stuff like that. But when you explained you have an intellect, a will, and passions, and they have to be rightly ordered for you to live the Christian life fully. And I just was sitting there going like, I'm 36, never heard this ever in my life. And I just was like, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay, it's real. You know, man, I got to change my life, you know? But that was a large, that was definitely a big change for me. And I remember as I was trying to, like, I had talked to John Dazelle, may he rest in peace there.
Yeah. And John, I was thinking about John just a moment ago. Because...
And a couple other people who are just phenomenal people. It was just a great social experience, not to mention teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. And then I was just going to kind of sneak out the back and you noticed me and said, hey, who are you? I'm Father Gabriel. And I don't even remember what we said, but anyways.
Yeah, it's so, probably something silly about Texas.
It probably. I don't wear it on my sleeve all the time.
But. Yeah. Now you can hear it. You can hear the remnant of a twang there. So.
Well, it is joyful and it's funny and there are jokes to be had. But Father Gabriel, that is a direct intervention, really, mm-hmm. between mm-hmm. God and Aaron. And, yeah. and you stood there to help that. That is doing what God intended you to always do. Father Gabriel, there is more that I want to talk to you about, but I am coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue our discussion in the next half hour?
Certainly.
And I am back with Father Gabriel Mosier. Father Gabriel Mosier is the chaplain here at Mater Dei Radio, has been such a great part of so many lives in the ministry of the Catholic Church and of the Dominicans here in Portland area. Father Gabriel, well, we have to bid him goodbye as he has been reassigned to wonderful community in Salt Lake City. He has made the time and the opportunity for us to sit down today to talk a little bit more about his transition, but more importantly about, well, some of the great things that he's been able to do as a Dominican living in the Pacific Northwest. Father Gabriel, thank you so much for staying with us.
Again, happy. It makes me very happy to be able to talk to you, Brenda.
Father Gabriel, your ministry has allowed you to do so many things. It just really cannot be confined to just one part, one sacramental life, one piece of the church. It's so vast. Kind of share with our listeners really what your ministry and what your assignment here in Portland has allowed you to do.
Yeah, I'd say so. The first aspect of that is just what the assignment is itself, which is parochial vicar at Holy Rosary Parish, which means I collaborate with the pastor or parochial administrator, whatever happens to be there at the time, in their work, their vision of the parish, and collaborate in that disposition. And that has a lot to do with sacramental work and other assigned tasks. For instance, we have Third Order chapters, the Dominican Lady. We've got Knights of Columbus. I'm the chaplain for that, or was. I've resigned from everything now, so it's like it's kind of strange. So there's the Knights of Columbus that I was a chaplain for. One of our Dominican Laity, I was a religious assistant for. I tried to help get started a Legion of Mary group that kind of fell apart for other reasons. That and getting the St. Vincent de Paul Society started again at the parish, and, you know, just a lot of these sorts of things. And then not to mention just all the heavy sort of sacramental work that we do at the parish, particularly confessions and, you know, those, all that stuff. It's a lot of work in and of itself, in addition to doing the things that are necessary within the priory itself in our own community. So right now, my principal responsibility is I'm what's called the sacristan, which I have to account for all the mass stipends for masses that are being said, for that people, you know, offer funds for, and account for all of that and make sure that money is processed properly, for the sake of the people. And then also the archivist. But at one point when I was, here probably about 5 years ago, maybe, I held every job in the priory except for the prior, like except for the superior, just about everything: procurator, sacristan, archivist, librarian. Every formal job I literally had, it was crazy. So, yeah. So there's a lot of things going on, and that's just internal stuff. Then, you know, I'm always busy. So I've got all the extracurriculars, like being appointed to the board of Mater Dei Radio and, other such endeavors, helping out with the Sacred Liturgy Conference, our own, Cantoris in Ecclesias, William Byrd Festival. I mean, there's so much.
Yes.
I still remember the first year that I got here was the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima. And so with the help of the group that we have that meets at the parish for that are dedicated to the apparitions of Fatima and the message of Fatima, We organized a procession throughout the city that started in different parts of the city and all converged on the cathedral with a mass for the Archbishop in honor of Our Lady of Fatima. That was really fun.
I love to hear that, the idea of working for the church and doing wonderful things for the church. It's fun.
It is.
It should be.
Now, here's a funny story about that, too, is the principal person that I was working with is a woman by the name of Brenda Schwartz. She doesn't live here anymore. She lives down in Bend. Well, right before I leave to Salt Lake City, I'll be witnessing the marriage of her son down in Bend to the daughter of some parishioners here. And so it's a fitting sort of closing of a circle in many ways. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. As I said in our first half, I mean, as a priest, and especially as a Dominican, you are witness to all parts of the family life, and that's how you become part of a family's memory for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one day I was standing outside of Holy Rosary at the grotto that we have there of Our Lady of Lourdes, and all these people were coming up, and I was talking to them, and there was kids running around and all this stuff, and I looked and I stopped and I said, you know what? I have married every single one of these couples, and I've baptized every single one of these kids.
Yes.
It is wild.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. There must be a joy in that, maybe a feeling of, I don't know, not satisfaction, but of completion, maybe.
To some degree. It's interesting. From this side of the altar, as we say, it's everyone looks at it slightly differently. And I look at it from the perspective of my very first catechism teacher at the seminary when I was at Holy Apostles, when I was doing the Dawson route of things. And Sister Marianne Linder, she said, all you guys are coming in to enter into ministry to try and save souls, to do some good in the church. And she said, don't think so much about all the people that you save. Think about all the people that you drive away, because you will.
Mm.
And that's always been a very profound thing that I've thought about over the years, because I'm sure I have. And that's the thing. And it's something that you have to think about and pray about and pray for. You know, the people that, as a priest, that you unwittingly or wittingly harm. And because there's a lot of responsibility in this job, so to speak, in this life. And so I'm always grateful for the consolations of all the good people that I've had an effect on as a priest so far in this short time, but I'm always sobered by that saying of Sister Marianne. I always think about that.
Well, that saying will stay with you throughout your ministry carrying you to Salt Lake City. Tell us a little bit about what you know of the community that you will be joining there.
Well, it's principally a university parish. We serve the University of Utah, and amongst other things and other people, but that's its mission. And my job principally is to free the campus minister, who is also a Dominican, Father Cody, to do that work. I'll be involved in it as well, but as the pastor of St. Catherine's there, my job will be to make sure that everything doesn't fall apart. So it's a lot of fundraising, a lot of friend making, a lot of relationship building, and more fundraising. And then, I keep sharing with everybody. I'm like, I did an assessment. I'm like, man, I got to raise a lot of money like yesterday. And it's hard, especially since it's not a traditional parish. Traditional parishes tend to have the resources of all the parishioners. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got a bunch of broke college students, right?
Right.
And so we're trying to figure out how to put a new roof on the place, so to speak. But not just so to speak. In fact, put a new roof on the place. That's one of the things that has to be done. But so, in any case, there's some definite challenges, also culturally. Salt Lake City is a very interesting town. Prior to the Winter Olympics, when it was held there, it was a very insular place, very LDS. Today, Salt Lake City is the least Mormon city in Utah. It's only 40% LDS.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, even though it's, as they call it, Zion. And that's where, you know, the Temple Square is, all their fancy stuff. But the secular culture has really taken a toll on that city specifically. And there's this whole culture of what they call Jack Mormons, the former Mormons. And that's a really strong presence there in the city. Also, as Catholics, we're the largest religious minority there. I think it's something like between 12 and 20% of what of that 60% of the town, of the city. And so a lot of things exist sort of in contradistinction to the LDS community. And that's not always the most healthy way to go about living out your Catholic life. So the first time that I was there as a student brother, I would work with the students on trying to teach them how to be Catholic simply, not Catholic in response to something else. And that was really well received and I think fairly successful amongst the students there. So I want to continue that and bring that same disposition. The advantage of growing up in New Mexico is that New Mexico is a Catholic place. And so there's an easy Catholicism to it. It's like breathing. And for me, that's one of the things that I can bring, is that it's just easy to be Catholic. You don't have to be embattled all the time.
Oh, well, we pray that you have many blessings as you go there, that you bless the people that you will be serving there. We know, as far as here at Mater Dei Radio, they have chosen well in sending you to your new assignment. Father Gabriel, we will miss you terribly. Before you go, will you offer us your blessing again?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Gabriel, thank you so much for your time today. May I ask that you continue to pray for us, and we will always keep you in our prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.